Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
It's lovely to have a beautifully relaxing, mellow Sunday, isn't it, sometimes? And feeling that presence of Spirit moving and those beautiful prayers and meditation and the beautiful music. And contemplate the nature of God through for that quiet presence, so that stability of prayer. I want to get real simple today, because that's what we're about, really. The whole thing has been very simple. And God is simple, because God is the most simple essence of being. And prayer, which is the work of our alignment with God, is also very simple. We tend to complicate it. I know the Christian church has for the last 2,000 years, because we've got prayers of all kinds. Don't we? Prayers of confession, prayers of intercession. They all have these big words, you know, to describe them. Prayers of petition, prayers of thanksgiving, etc., etc., etc. And that's just Christianity. All other religions have bunches of prayers too. But there's one real purpose of prayer, and it's very simple, and it rhymes, which so we can remember it. It's to align with the divine, right? That's what the purpose of prayer is, to align with the divine. And if there's only one thing you remember from this message today, I hope you can remember it because it rhymes, okay? Align, that's my purpose in prayer, is to align with the divine. And we could do this because we are of God, right? Our consciousness and God consciousness are inherently one. We're told this in the Bible many, many times, that the kingdom of heaven is within us. We are made in the image and likeness of God, right? Therefore, we have the divine connection to God. We can dare to claim, just as Jesus did, the Father and I are one, you know? They wanted to kill him, and they did kill him when he started coming out with phrases like that, because it was out of the box. The idea of being one with God was anathema to the Jewish people at that time, and it's still a radical statement to really believe it, to really live from that consciousness, that the Father, Mother, God, and I, we are one, right? Because what happens when you really believe that and really begin to live from that awareness? Consciousness rises, there's some kind of gas coming on. Pew! We are cooking with gas, as they say, as I like to say years ago, and I'm back with it again today. We're cooking with gas. There's energy that flows from that awareness, right? From that daring to allow that alignment to happen in our lives. And so the prayer that is the most effective is the prayer that helps us to do just that. See, Jesus states it clearly, this remembering consciousness, remembering who we are. In Matthew 6:33, Bible scholars, you know what I'm saying, right? Seek first the kingdom and the rightness of the kingdom, or the righteousness of the kingdom, and all the other things will be handed to you as well. Where's the emphasis? Seek first the kingdom. Align with the divine first. Seek God first. Then God is within us, right? The kingdom of heaven is within you. Seek first the kingdom within you and the rightness of the kingdom. It is in divine order. It is beautiful. It will give you everything you need in the right and perfect way. Yeah, that's its nature. God doesn't create secondhand stuff, you know. God creates beautiful stuff. Everything from the flea to us is beautifully made. It's glorious. And so we can trust God to bring us only the best stuff. But the thing is, in order to do that, we have to put God first, right? Seek first the kingdom. And this is where we fall down in prayer, because we'd like the idea of inviting God in, but our focus is usually on the need, isn't it? Let's be fair. It's often on the need. So, and often we don't pray when things are going well. I don't need God. I only need God when things are difficult, when I got my mind focused on fear and lack and all the things that aren't there for me, and I think I'll bring God in. Surely you can help. And then when the need is satisfied, see you later. I'm so glad you came and visited, God, but right now I can handle it all by myself. See, with that kind of chopping and changing attitude, it's no wonder we don't have effective prayer lives, because it's not just something we invoke on a day of need. It's a living presence. It's being in the consciousness of aligning with the divine on every single moment of every single day, being reminded of the truth. That's how you have a beautiful relationship with the divine. Lady was on my show. She's a Zen priest, and she runs a center in LA. She's got two kids. She's married, and she's a Zen priest. Kind of cool. And she said that her teacher always told her the simple words, be intimate with your life. Be intimate with your life. That's an amazing statement, because it means, you know, so often we got filters between us and what we're experiencing. We're not really experiencing it. It's filtered through all our fears, our expectations, our stories, our hopes, our dreams, but we don't have a direct experience with our lives. Prayer is about having a direct experience with your life, because your life is God's life, right? Be intimate with your life. Be deeply connected. God is already intimate with you. God knows how many hairs you have on your head. So God is intimate with us. So the call is for us to be intimate with God. And God is deeply involved with our lives. So there's no separation between. Once you get intimate with your life, once you enjoy your relationships, once you look out your window and give thanks for the beauty that's all around, you're getting intimate with life, you're getting intimate with God. You are beginning to align with the divine. There's a passage from Mark 11:24. It's so important we put it on all the prayer request slips that you'll see around the church. And it's been on those prayer request slips for years now, because I think this is one of the most powerful statements that Jesus ever invoked. And this is what it says. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you've received it, and it will be yours. That's powerful, isn't it? Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you've received it, and it will be yours. Now, what's the key word upon which everything pivots in that sentence? Believe, right? Now, are you believing that that stuff is yours? Is that what you're supposed to believe? Believe whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you received it. See, that's the catch-22. What is it we're believing in? Believe is the key word. I'm believing what? I'm worthy to expand to receive that. I'm worthy to have God in my life to the degree that I'm going to receive from him and her all that I need. See, that's the key. God has to be in here. The belief is not in the things. Well, I believe I deserve a Lexus. So give it to me, God. No. A Lexus will bring us no lasting value, right? Nice, it's nice to have a Lexus, but that's not what we're believing in. We're believing in a larger, expanded view of what's possible for us, right? Believe that you are that kind of open channel and vessel for God's good, and then it will be yours. And it must be yours because you've created a larger vessel. Now, what are we opening ourselves to God with? Sometimes we've got a thimble. Unfortunately, that thimble is sometimes turned that way. We just don't believe we're worthy to receive. And if you turn your thimble that way, what can God give you? Nothing. Because no matter how much God wants to give, we're turning it upside down. We're rejecting it. We don't believe it enough. We can't accept that we're worthy to receive, etc., etc. And so we're not going to receive anything. When we first come into truth and begin to have an understanding of this and maybe begin to believe that I cannot actually align with the divine, guess what? We turn the thimble around, don't we? And then we're open and receptive to God to the degree of the thimble. Now, when we've got that much faith and that much knowledge of our expanded good, then God will fill our thimble. But we can also hold up to God a cup, can't we? Or we can, if you're big and strong, you can hold up a bathtub. Or you can hold up a whole garden, a whole landscape, right? You can see your expanded good everywhere. And that's where prayer becomes really powerful. Because prayer is then not just about what I'm receiving. It's about what we're all receiving. Jesus understood this. And one of my favorite quotes, if I'm lifted up, he said, all will be lifted up. right? So when we are expanded, now what creates the expanded good then? How do we believe more? How do we accept greater good? Because what you can conceive of, what's the old phrase? You can achieve. What you can expand your consciousness to, you can be filled with. If you can expand your consciousness to the greatest fear in the world, then that's what you're going to receive. If you expand your consciousness to possibility, then that is also what you receive. Now, there's the question then, how do we expand? How do we align with the divine in such an open-hearted way? Gratitude often works, doesn't it? Because I'm grateful, I see all the good around me instead of seeing all the bad around me. So I'm expanding possible good in that regard. Forgiveness of yourself or others has to begin with you, doesn't it? I have to forgive myself for getting in the way. Because the title of this sermon is Why Prayer Works and Why It Doesn't. If God is first, prayer's going to work. If God's anywhere else other than first, it's probably not going to work. Because I'm getting myself in the way of my own good, right? Through my fears, my anxieties, my resentments. And so what does forgiveness do? It cleanses and opens that channel to receive, to get put myself back in right relation with the one, right? I'm back in alignment. I'm aligning with the divine in. Got to keep divine in and aligning. Exactly, because it has to come with an expanded consciousness, right? It's not a, God doesn't dump stuff into our lap generally. God gives us the ideas and the vision and the understanding for us to go forth into our lives and make things happen, yes? It doesn't all get dumped. And some of us are praying for things to change or to be given to us, you know, just because we feel we deserve it. But that's not the way God works. God works in consciousness, expanded consciousness. And when you get that expansion, then the good begins to flow to that. Yeah, we're given the guidance that faithfully leads us to take the right steps of activity into our good. You know, I think prayer partially works if we try and force it, but it never really works fully. And we want prayer to work easily and harmoniously in our lives, yes? There's a difference between strength and force, right? What is it, power and force? We want the power of God, but we don't want to force it to happen. We want it to come forth harmoniously. Prayer is simple, like we said earlier. Marcus Aurelius, Roman emperor, great man, great philosopher, love his stuff, love his book of meditations. He said this about prayer. He said, and he's quoting the prayer of the Athenians. He says, here's the prayer of the Athenians. Zeus, rain down on the land and fields of Athens. And then he comments, either no prayers at all, or one as straightforward as that. And there's the prayer. Zeus, rain down on the land and fields of Athens. We could modernize it, couldn't we? Almighty God, rain down on the land and fields of Texas. Amen. Or Fort Worth, or whatever you want. But where's the focus here? If your focus is on rain, you may have a problem, right? Because then you're talking about a finite thing. But if your focus is on God, on Zeus, and then the petition, then the request for rain, but it's God provides, not the rain. I need rain, because then your focus might be too much on the rain, the need, the whatever it is. As long as the prayer is God first, Zeus. So I want everybody today to pray to Zeus. Because Zeus is still powerful even after all these years. We had a teenager in our church years ago. He's now a man in his 30s. But he was very into rap music and hip-hop and stuff. He was very, very good. I was hoping he'd make a breakthrough into the big time, but it hasn't happened yet. But his name was Big Zeus. That was his name, Big Zeus. Well, we love Big Zeus. We hope he's doing well. His name's Zach Touchon, and he lives in L.A. right now, so he's still going ahead with his dream. But I like that. Keep it simple, right? Align with the divine, and then open to guidance, expand to guidance. Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson, to me, nails it in his essay, Self-Reliance. And this is written back in the, 1800s, but it's so unity. I think Emerson was the first unity minister, actually. And he influenced the unity movement very much. But he talks about what prayer isn't, the mistakes we make in prayer, and then what true prayer is. You know, the things that can get in the way of effective prayer, and then what guides us into. And when he talked about self-reliance, he's not talking about self-reliance with a small s, relying on your ego. It's self-reliance, relying on the true self, on the spirit within you, right? Putting that first and foremost on a daily basis. So he says this, prayer that looks abroad and asks for some foreign addition to come through some foreign virtue loses itself in endless mazes of natural and supernatural and mediatorial and miraculous. This is when we're looking for our good anywhere but here, right? Somebody else is going to fix it for me. Outside of myself, looks abroad, trying to fix it from outside. It's never going to happen that way. Instead, it loses itself in endless mazes of natural and supernatural, mediatorial and miraculous. Prayer that craves a particular commodity, my Lexus, anything less than all good is vicious. Wow, tell it like it is there, Ralph. You know, it's okay. I think he'd like to be called Waldo, actually, so. Where is he? You want to? Yeah, where's Waldo? Okay, got it, yeah. Prayer that craves a particular commodity. You've got to give up wanting stuff, you know, even though we really want it. I want to get healed. I want more money. I want this, that, and the other. It has to be let go of before you can get it. It's ironic, isn't it? The more you want a perfect relationship and you're focused on that so much, the more it won't come to you because your focus is not on God, on the divine supply. So the whole thing is expanding ourselves to such a degree that we are open vessels for that good to come. The other one leads to poverty. It leads to viciousness, as he puts it. But prayer as a means to effect a private end is meanness and theft. It supposes dualism and not unity in nature and consciousness. As soon as the man is at one with God, he will not beg. So affirmative prayer is not begging. He will then see prayer in all action. And I love that. This is the key for me. He will then see prayer in all action. Whatever we are doing, we're doing it for the glory of God. And then it becomes ennobled, right? A relationship, work, whatever it is that we're doing, it becomes ennobled then. And he gives kind of a couple of examples. The prayer of the farmer kneeling in his field to weed it. The prayer of the rower kneeling with the stroke of his oar are true prayers heard throughout nature. In other words, do what you do, right? With that expansion, with that joy. Because you have two choices. You have to do it. So if you can do it begrudgingly, or you can do it expansively, knowing that you are going to meet your good in that action. Yeah. Now what happens when you do the former, when you do it begrudgingly? There's no payoff. It's set more misery. But if you do it as in high expectation of the good, whether you're conscious of it or not, you're just doing because you know that's the right thing to do, then you will be ennobled. And my wife's a builder, and she's building a house right next to us right now. And it's interesting to see how it all comes about. You know, they grade it, and then they have to put the plumbing in, and then the piers and all that, and then the beams go in and the foundation, etc. And yesterday they finished with all the plumbing, and so everything has to be moved over so that the beams could go in. You know, the rebar and all that stuff. And they constantly dig it. Anyway, these guys were out there, and I'm sure they're just on a low wage, but they're out there for like 12 hours digging these ditches, and they're using some machines, but a lot of it's manual. And I thought, my God, I wouldn't be able to survive 1 hour. Let's put it like that. And they're out there doing 12 hours work. Now, maybe they're not thinking of God, but to me, that work is ennobling because they get very, very fit. There's a hard day's work. I'm sure they have that sense of satisfaction at the end of it. And it's glorious to watch. You know, it's lovely to watch people working, isn't it? I could do it all day, you know. Wow, look at that. That's cool. Ooh, look at him go there. Yeah. I get to do it from my kitchen window, so I'm not obnoxious, you know. But to me, that's an ennobled, prayerful consciousness when you can be doing that kind of work, you know. And I'm impressed. It's an inspiration to me. Let's put it like that. And then Emerson comes to his climax. He says, prayer is the contemplation of the facts of life from the highest point of view. Like we said, you can either do it miserably or you can do it from the highest. Hello. That's enough of that sermon. He's gone on too long. It was good. First part was good. Man, he's getting old now. All these big words, soliloquy. There's a soliloquy coming up. Praise the contemplation of the facts of life from the highest point of view. You know, are you a thimble today? Or are you a bathtub? You know, what you choose to open to, because that's what you're going to receive. And he says, it is the soliloquy of a beholding and jubilant soul. You know, open to all kinds of possibility, right? The soliloquy, it's you and God together aligning with the divine. Yeah. Soliloquy of a beholding and jubilant soul. And here's even more. It is the Spirit of God pronouncing his works good. In other words, we are so intimately connected with God now that God is pronouncing his works good through us. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be, an expression of God pronouncing his, her works good through us? That is our birthright, folks. And it's very, very simple. So what have we learned about that simplicity? I've got a four-part thing to do to pray effectively. But what have you got? Let me ask you first. What are you going to take from this? Align with the divine. Glad you remembered that one. Give thanks. Okay, you're going to give thanks because that's one of the fastest ways to expand your bucket. It's not about you, is it? And yet it's all about you, right? It's not about my ego. It's all about my spirit. Yeah. Move myself out of the way. Yeah. God first. In line with the divine. Keep it simple. Here's the four I've got. Allow God in. You know, because so often when we've got worries, all we can do is worry. We have to allow God in, first of all. Acknowledge that I am a spiritual being. There is a divine connection. I can invoke God. So I'm going to choose to allow God in. And the second thing then is to breathe and not fret. Because sometimes we immediately sabotage it. We say, well, I believe. No, I don't. You know, we go from that alignment to immediately worrying. And so it's good to breathe and don't fret. So allow God in, breathe, don't fret. Only then can we begin to expand the possibility, right? And entertain this larger reality that is ours to claim. And then finally, we relax and receive. Because it will come. It cannot help but come once we've opened that container. It has to be filled, right? That's the law. And so prayer is guaranteed when we can simply do that alignment without too much fretting, just a trusting open heart, do what is ours to do with joy on any given day. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you, divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.